Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we begin the program by zeroing in on chocolate. You love chocolate? I love chocolate. And so does Gail Ambrosius. And she also knows how to make chocolate. Really good chocolate. Really good chocolate. And with Valentine's Day tomorrow, in case you forgot, I'll tell you what. Might want to be thinking about chocolate. It's probably the number one gift on Valentine's Day, isn't it, Gail?
I would say probably chocolate and flowers.
Flowers,
you couldn't go wrong. It's a great combo. And for me, who buys me chocolate, you know, so I always get flowers, which is great. I love flowers.
Oh, well, Gail owns Gail Ambrosius Chocolatier in Madison. We have a link, I think, on our website. We got something up there.
I believe so.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can go there and take a look. She's located right here in Madison and on Atwood Avenue.
Right.
And not far from where I live, to be perfectly honest. And I can walk there in 5 minutes. And I've done it more than once. So that's just to let you know that I've spent a lot of time eating Gail's chocolates, and my opinion, they're wonderful. And I guess many of us love chocolate. Not many of us become chocolate masters like you. How did that happen? What inspired you to choose that?
Just luck, I guess. Well, it's something I had always wanted to do. I was cooking with my mother at a really young age and just loved being in the kitchen with her and making things that really just gave comfort and happiness. So chocolate just seemed kind of a natural.
Yeah. And you've been at it a while now.
7 years. It's 7 years now.
Wow. And you've been... And seven isn't, you know, it's, well, seven's a long time, but not really
not
a long
really,
time.
Not really, yeah. It went by really fast.
And for, especially for, given the accolades.
Yeah, I've had a lot of nice kudos. Just recently, Martha Stewart Living mentioned us in the magazine as one of the editor's picks for Valentine's Chocolate. And last Friday, USA Today mentioned us as one of the top 10 places in the U.S. to get drenched in chocolate.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
And you've been featured on one of the food programs, on the Food Channel.
The Food Network?
Yeah, on the Food Network
as
well.
Yeah, the Food Network, not this past September, but the one previous, they named us the best box of chocolate in America.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, we couldn't be prouder.
I can see why they did. Well, you were trained in France.
Mm-hmm.
How's that tradition, the French tradition, is it different from the others, say Swiss or Belgium? Or
I think everybody just has a little different style. You know, Belgians tend to like a lot of nuts and more milk chocolate, I would say. Mm-hmm. A little more traditional. I think the French really go for bigger flavors. They tend to like darker chocolate, which is where my palate lies.
Yeah.
So for me, that was a little more interesting. And I studied French in high school. Fell in love with Paris. I went there when I was 17 with a high school trip. And that's kind of when I fell in love with it. And so, you know, for me, training in France was kind of a natural thing to do.
See, Judith Sears-Poisson, my producer, she loved Paris too. So she said, I think I could find a man who's from Paris, then I could go and visit. And you know, sure enough, that's what she did.
Yeah. Perfect. That's great.
Oh man! And so you studied there. It's the process probably the same no matter where you are.
Yeah, it's a similar process. You know, I think we all put our different spin on it, so we get our different styles of chocolate making. For us, we tend to use almost all dark chocolate, and in our shop, we use chocolate from Central and South America only, from about six different countries. And the idea behind that is each chocolate really has its own personality and flavor, and I really want to showcase, you know, what those flavors are. So a chocolate from Peru, it to me tastes kind of earthy. Chocolate from Ecuador can taste a little floral, a little fruity.
Mm-hmm.
And a Venezuelan can taste completely different. Colombian is one of my favorites. It's kind of a bitter almond flavor, cherry flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it. It's kind of roasty, more like those chocolatey coffee notes.
So, and do you personally visit these places? Or do you...
I have been lucky enough to go to several farms that actually do grow the chocolate. It's one of the perks, I'd have to say.
Yeah, you can write that off.
Yeah.
It's a business expense.
That's a big one. Well, for me, I grew up on a dairy farm. And so my curiosity always goes to the, okay, where does this plant come from, or this fruit, this bean? And I needed to see, you know, start to finish, you know, who's growing it? How is it being grown? How does it get to me? So I, you know, I'm just a curious person, and I did a lot of research, and I asked enough times if I could tag along with different people when they're traveling. And, you know, luckily I got to do that. Yeah. Next month I'm going back to Costa Rica, which is one of my favorite places.
Oh.
And I'll actually get to work with the farmers a little bit. And in a particular area, I work with the women who are also trying to make chocolate and kind of get a little business off the ground.
Oh, so, that's great.
Yeah, I help them out where I can.
Gail Ambrosius, our guest today, owner of Gail Ambrosius Chocolatier in Madison. Great to have her along as we talk with her about chocolate today. You may have a question or comment. I haven't even given the number yet, so maybe I should do that. If you'd like to join in, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show, and you can post a question or a comment there. So we hear dark chocolate is kind of your favorite.
Right.
What else we got? We got milk?
We've got milk chocolate. We've got white chocolate, you know, chocolate with nuts, toffees.
And what is a white chocolate?
A white chocolate technically isn't chocolate.
That's what I thought. That's why I wanted to bring that up.
But it is good. White chocolate has cocoa butter in it. So the cocoa butter does come from the cocoa bean. So it you know, there's some chocolate product there. You just don't get the darkness. It's the cocoa butter that's expressed from the bean. There's sugar in it and milk solids or milk products.
Okay. Is the dark chocolate, is that... If you were thinking about a pure chocolate, would that be a more pure chocolate?
Well, I would say so, because the dark chocolate, you know, it's just the crushed roasted beans.
Yeah.
And the beans have the cocoa butter in them. So if you think of a nut, they have nut meats and nut oils. The cocoa butter is the oil in the cocoa bean. So the dark chocolate is just the cocoa bean and a little bit of sugar added. So the darker chocolate has less sugar than, say, milk chocolate.
One of the things I like about your chocolates, you've come up with so many different little additions to the chocolate that really...
Thank you.
Oh, go through it. Give us a list of your 10 or so favorites that you like.
Oh, boy. Cinnamon cayenne is really good.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet curry with saffron. Lemongrass with ginger is great. I like the fruity ones, too. I have a blueberry that has really nice blueberry flavor. It's got dried Michigan blueberries in it. I like some of the tea flavors. Yeah. I do an Earl Grey with lavender buds. But then, you know, the traditionals like raspberry. I have one called French vanilla or Lucille's vanilla. It's actually a dark chocolate. There's no vanilla. There's extra vanilla in it, but it's not white. It's a real chocolatey center. It tastes like my mother's chocolate pudding.
Mm.
So it's named after her. espresso is always popular.
Yeah.
Then you've got cognac and Cointreau.
I know. I like the cognac one.
Yeah. My mom likes that one, too. She'd say, that's that boozy one. I like that one.
Well, let's take some... Oh, we do have some photos up on Facebook, I think, of your chocolates that Judith took. Let's see if I can find it. We'll get that up. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, those are the ones I brought in today.
Yeah, so up on the Facebook page, go to the Larry Mealer Show. You can take a look at some boxes of Gail's chocolates that she brought in. You can also join us at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call if you have a question or comment about chocolate. And Shar, we go in Clear Lake. We'll go to you. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Gail. My daughter, Abigail, discovered or found you in Madison when she moved there a few years ago and told me about your story and brought me some of your chocolates. And I have to say, It's probably the closest thing I've gotten to heaven.
Yay!
other than living where I live, which is a lovely little place out in the country. But anyway, I was just thrilled to hear that you grew up on a dairy farm, because so did my daughter. And anyway, she buys your chocolates for many occasions and gives them as gifts to people in this area. And I just want you to know you're doing a wonderful job, and you are living proof that when you follow your bliss, what you do is amazing. So
thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thank your daughter, too, for me, please.
I drive by your place every time I come to visit her in Madison, so I'll be stopping in sometime to introduce myself.
All right, great. Thank you, Shar.
Thanks, Shar. Thank you very much for calling. That's great. And Nikki sent us a note on our Facebook page. And she says, upon reading this, when she said this, it was the announcement that Gail was going to be on today. My husband commented that he pairs nothing with Gail's chocolates, doesn't even drink water for a while after eating them because the tastes linger and he doesn't want to interfere with the experience. How about that?
That's great.
Oh, man. I love that comment. And then, let's see, what is it? Norma says, bought some for both husband and son. They are ambrosiastic.
I love it.
Oh, gosh. That's a good one.
Yeah.
You may like to join in, too. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. You enjoy chocolate? Are you a purist? Are you like innovative flavors? What's your favorite memory involving chocolate? We all have some good memories, I think, involving chocolate. I'd like to hear yours. 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. So single source chocolate, you're a big proponent
right.
of it. Yeah. Talk a little more about that.
Well, single origin, it means it comes from either one plantation, one farm, or one country. And chocolate is a lot like grapes or wine. You know, you have different regions, so you've got these Cab grapes or, you know, mm-hmm. Tempranillo or Malbec. Mm-hmm. Chocolate is very similar. You know, it's influenced by rainfall, the soil type, what had been grown there previously. And it all lends to the flavor. So it's the terroir. So what people are trying to showcase when they do single source or single origin is, you know, the different flavors from the different regions.
Excellent. Well, we have some more callers online. Let's go to Teresa in Green Bay next. Hi, Teresa. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I happen to be making fudge right now.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, good.
So we happen to have Sarugi's chocolates up here, which I love.
Right.
And I was wondering what they're famous for, I think, mostly is their meltaways.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you had anything like that at your store.
I don't do meltaways. Partly when someone else does things so well, like I know Sarugi's does the meltaways. I grew up near the Green Bay area. So, you know, I'll let them have the meltaways.
You know, I've mastered it.
Yeah, I specialize in the truffles, so that's what we focus on.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I have a sister-in-law in Madison, so I have to make sure she gets over there.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks for calling, Teresa. Appreciate it. Martha in River Falls, we're on to you now. Hi, Martha.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
I was just wondering, what is the name? I had never heard your program before. What is the name of the chocolates?
It's my name. It's Gail Ambrosius.
And how do you spell that? G-A?
G-A-I-L.
E-I-L. Oh, okay. And where can I buy them?
Our shop is at 2086 Atwood Avenue, and we also have a website.
Okay, and you're in Madison, right?
I'm in Madison, yes.
Okay, well, I'm a label reader, and I'm just kind of curious what ingredients you use and whether you hydrogenate the oils.
I don't use any oils.
Oh,
the
that's
only,
you.
No, chocolate should not have oil in it other than the cocoa butter, which is natural to chocolate.
Sure. Oh, yes. Could I possibly get some of your chocolates here in River Falls?
Yes, you could go to the website. It's www.gailambrosius.com, and Ambrosius is A M B R-O-S-I-U-S.
I-O-S?
I-U-S.
I-U-S.
That's right.
And if you're on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, we have a link to it, so you can just go there and link right up.
Perfect.
Do you sell your chocolates in stores?
Around the Madison area, I don't think there's anything in River Falls right now.
Oh, there isn't. I've got a daughter living in Madison. I'm going to have her get me some.
Perfect. Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Martha. Thank you for calling. All right. Well, you're going to like it, Martha. When you have that first bite, you're going to say, oh, yeah, that is good. Bruce in Oshkosh.
Hi, and Miss Ambrosia, thank you for your hard work and your wonderful life.
Thank you.
I wanted to share this with you. I was a boy during World War II. My dad went in on D-Day with his cousin, Field Marshal Montgomery, but I was living in Clarion, Iowa, and my daily expeditions would be to go to the neighbors' houses. Chocolate was rationed, and I would knock on their door and ask for chocolate chips, and they'd say, chocolate chips? I say, yeah, I want to keep my brown eyes brown. When I was teaching at the University of Wisconsin, my students told me that that's not chocolate.
chocolate chips are not chocolate?
Not chocolate. Well,
keep my brown eyes brown.
Oh, got it.
But that was in psychology class, not cooking. Thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for calling. Oh, Wanda in Fond du Lac. Let's go to you next. Hi, Wanda.
Hi. Yeah, you was talking about memories, and one of my favorite memories is when we grew up on the farm, we weren't able to get a lot of chocolate either, but my mom would treat us with every now and then, not the instant pudding, but the cook pudding,
mm-hmm.
and she'd heat it up, and she'd put it over ice cream.
Oh, that sounds great.
The warm and the cold and the sugar and the sweet. Oh, my God, it's still my favorite.
Yeah, that sounds so like heaven.
So warm pudding over ice cream.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
I never thought of that.
Like, it's not real sweet like chocolate, you know, how it's mm-hmm. real sweet, but the pudding, it's just, I don't know, and it melts. It's like hot fudge, but better than hot fudge. It's really good.
Sounds great.
I'm going to try it, Wanda. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Gail Ambrosius, our guest today, owner of Gail Ambrosius Chocolatier in Madison, as we talk with her about wonderful chocolate. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller, Judith Sears Poisson, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking chocolates today with Gail Ambrosius. Thanks for listening in today. Stay listening, too, because we're going from chocolate to wine, and we'll be talking about wine, choosing and enjoying wine next. But for now, Gail's with us, and I'm really glad to have her along. And Kurt wonders if there's gluten in chocolate truffles.
No, there's really no gluten in chocolate truffles, unless you're adding something. Where you could run into it is if you were adding certain alcohols, like bourbon, could possibly have gluten in it. I don't have a bourbon truffle right now. Also, if you had certain inclusions in it, there's one praline that I make. It has foietine in it,
mm-hmm.
and foietine is a buckwheat crepe. It's a very thin cracker-like. It gives mm-hmm. a real crispness. Something like that could have gluten, but generally the truffles I make do not, because it's just chocolate, cream, and butter, and possibly, you know, fruit or spices, so they would not have gluten.
Excellent. We have, by the way, just thinking about that, as you were talking about that, as part of your training, probably chemistry came into play.
It did. We had to learn, you know, the temperatures at which chocolate react, because you have to go through this tempering curve, and why does the water adhere to the chocolate molecules, and, you know, how do you keep it in suspension like that and not where the water wants to migrate out, because that's where you could run into some problems.
Yeah. We have Mary in Palmyra up next with a question, so let's go there. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I just have have a question. I don't know if I missed it or not, but I can only have sugar-free chocolate, and it's very, very difficult to find when I go to candy stores and whatnot to find good sugar-free chocolate. It's gotten so bad that before I buy, I ask if I can taste test, because I can't tell you how many times I've bought sugar-free chocolate that I literally just threw away because it was just so horrible.
Yeah. That's really a very common issue. In fact, I don't have sugar-free chocolate for that very same reason. I try sugar-free chocolate every chance I get, and I just haven't found anything that tastes good. And if it doesn't taste good, why bother? You know, I don't want to sell. I can't sell it.
Right.
So I feel for you, but I don't have anything sugar-free. I do have a 91% truffle right now. So what that means is that 91% is pure chocolate, and the other 9% is sugar. So that's really a very, very low sugar chocolate. So, you know, if you could handle something like that, I'd just go for the higher percentages. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Bernard in Presque Isle, on to you now. Hi. Whoops. Let's see if we can get him. Hi, Bernard. Thanks for calling.
Yes. I have a recipe for those on diet for the chocolate chip cookie that I think you will like. First of all, you take out all of the milk and the Crisco and the sugar and the flour and leave them out and just eat the chocolate chips with a teaspoon. I do that all the time, and I'm still skinny like high school.
Nice. That's a great recipe.
Oh, Bernard, thank you so much. That's a good one. I like that. Eric in Minocqua, what about you? You have a question for us or comment?
I love that chocolate chip recipe. That's fun. I do. Question I actually have is, what's like shelf life on chocolate, and how long can you keep it, like fudge, like specific, if it's like in a cellophane, or does it just go bad? You know, is there any barometer to that?
Well, I don't typically make fudge. I remember fudge from my mother when she liked to make fudge. I'm not sure how long the shelf life would be. I think what you could run into, though, is if it's around for, you know, maybe longer than a week or so, it could start getting grainy. Mm-hmm. So I would just, when you make your fudge, put it in a container that's pretty airtight and, you know, store it in the refrigerator, and that should help extend it. But I'm not an expert on fudge, I'd have to say.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. And we have Genevieve from Madison, says she loves herbs in chocolate, like lavender.
Nice.
What are some other, are there some other options that you've...
Well, in the summertime, I make a mint truffle. I grow mint in my garden, so I use, and it's a chocolate mint, of course. But I steep the cream in the mint, and then I pour the warm cream over the chocolate to make the centers or the ganache. I also have a friend that grows tarragon, and tarragon is really quite good. It gives a little anise flavor, so it's very subtle, but it's very delicious. I have tried basil, and I would not recommend that. I think that's better in pesto.
All right. Well, let's see. Joanne wonders if you could explain the process from cocoa bean to chocolate delicacy.
Ooh, good question. Okay, well, the cocoa bean grows on a cacao tree. It's called cacao at that point. And the cacao tree has pods on it that are roughly football shaped. And inside the pods, there are between 25 and 40 beans. When the beans are ripe, the beans are generally harvested twice a year. So you take the beans out of the pod, and they're covered with this white slimy pulp. When you first see it, you just think, oh my God, that looks disgusting. How did anyone ever think of this? But the pulp is really important because the next step is fermentation. You have to ferment the beans. And because the pulp is so sugary, those sugars help ferment the beans. They're all put in a big pile in a box and covered. So under the heat, they start, you know, really generating a lot of heat, and they start fermenting, and that's when the flavors start developing in the bean. So it kind of creates lactic and acetic acids, and really develops the flavor. So after about a week of fermenting, roughly, then the beans are dried in the sun. You want to make sure they're completely dry. Then they are roasted to bring out any final flavors. Then the thin papery shell comes off, they're winnowed, and then the beans are crushed. So at that crushing stage, you now have nibs, and then when they're crushed super fine, they become chocolate liquor. There's no alcohol, but it's just called liquor.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, you have what looks like drippy, melty chocolate, and then you decide what kind of recipe you're going to make, and then you add your sugar or your milk or whatever it is that your final product might be. And then it's poured into molds or deposited mm-hmm. into little drops, and then you have your bulk chocolate, and that's how I get it.
And so you get it as bulk chocolate?
I get it as bulk chocolate, yes.
And then you kind of
Then I melt it, and
melt it.
And then I make my recipes and start my experimenting.
Very cool. Kevin and Mercer, on to you now. Hi, Kevin.
Howdy there. I got a question for you. I've got real bad acid reflux, but I love chocolate.
Okay.
My favorite is just a plain old regular Tootsie Roll. I love Halloween.
That's great.
Do you have any chocolate that would not hurt the stomach as much?
Well, you know, I've never heard of that as it could cause those symptoms. So I'm really not sure. I mean, I would try it.
Yeah, I would. I don't know what would cause.
I'm not sure what would cause that.
So maybe less or more processed chocolate with more sugar and so forth might aggravate that. So
yeah.
You might be better off with a more pure chocolate.
Yeah, you should
such
just,
as what you have.
Yeah, you should just come in and start experimenting and eating as much as you can, I would say.
Thanks, Kevin. Thank you for calling. And Earl and Madison, appreciate your call. Hello.
Hi, Larry. It's my first time to call, but I enjoy your program very much. And I had a question for Gail. I know she talked about going to Colombia and Ecuador and Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been spending a lot of time there in selecting chocolates for myself. I don't know if you've gotten into the mountains of Antioquia region over in Port Medellin, but the campesinos, the farmers,
mm-hmm.
They make hot chocolate.
Yeah.
And you make it with water.
Uh-huh.
You boil it three times. Then you add cheese.
Oh, my gosh.
It's wonderful.
I've never had that.
If you get that opportunity, you should try it.
I will. Thank you.
The chocolate's fantastic there.
Sounds good.
Oh, yeah, that does sound good.
Yeah.
it's wonderful in the mountains.
What kind of cheese do they add?
I guess with the mountain, a made cheese they have there. It's a firm, not the soft one, a firm.
Right, okay.
So,
cool.
It's made locally. But try it if you get a chance.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks, Earl.
Thank you. Now.
Yeah, appreciate the call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Give us a call. Send us an email. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Email from Lana, who loves your chocolate, Gail. Very much, she says, I love the shop and particularly a chance to sample. The hot chocolate is divine.
Yes.
It is, too. What do you think about large upscale chocolate producers such as Godiva or Lindt?
Well, everybody has a different style, you know, and it's just a different business. It's a completely different business from, you know, our small shop, you know, 200 or 2,400 square feet and 10 employees versus a huge factory and hundreds of employees.
Yeah,
so it's just
a different style.
Yeah, a different way of doing things.
And the hot chocolate that you have.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's good.
Yeah, it's really good. That's one of the treats of coming in your shop.
Yeah, we like to put out, we've got this great hot chocolate maker, and it keeps it warm all day and moving. But the way we make hot chocolate is we just take our 70% Colombian chocolate, and we shave it, so it's just broken down into small pieces. So the way I like to make it, if I'm making, say, one cup, I'll take about 2 tablespoons of shaved chocolate and about the same amount of water and put it in a little saucepan and just start melting it together and make a little paste. And then I'll add the beverage of choice. You know, if it's milk or heavy cream, if I'm really feeling decadent, or if I want it really strong, I might just add a few more tablespoons of water and drink it more like an espresso and just have a really strong chocolate drink.
Oh, that sounds good, too.
It's fabulous. The other night for dessert, instead of making a dessert, I just made some hot chocolate like that, and it was, we were licking our cups.
Shelley in Waukesha, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to say, if I lived in the Madison area, I would definitely apply for a job at Gail's Shop. And I've had countless truffles of yours, and I just wanted to make a testament to how absolutely incredible they are, and they have set the standard for me for any other chocolate that I try. And I know, like, when Larry mentioned our
We're losing you. Are you there? Oh, too bad.
Oh, well, thank you, Shelley.
We lost you there for a bit, Shelley.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. But, yeah, I can't express enough how wonderful her chocolates are.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet.
Especially those salted caramels, all of them, the lavender truffles, the rose truffles. They're just very appreciative.
All right. Thanks,
Shelley.
Much.
And those salted, those
salted
are...
caramels. Yeah, everybody loves those. Those are the ones Martha Stewart mentioned in the magazine.
Oh, they're fantastic. You use sea salt, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what is it about?
Well, it's that sweet and salty combination.
Yeah.
You know, it's so good. And when you can find, you know, there's a lot of great salts out there right now. You know, lots of gourmet salts. We use a fleur de sel. It's a gray sea salt. And when you add a little salt at the very end, it just makes flavors pop. So, you know, if you're doing any other kind of cooking and you want to experiment with some salts, just put it in at the very end of your dish or, you know, right as you're serving, put a little pinch on it. You'll be surprised at how it brings out the flavor and makes it come alive.
Oh, man. Steve and Wausau, on to you now. Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. While my mother was still alive, I would go to the store and always buy that Dove chocolate, the dark chocolate, because it's supposed to be so good for you. But I started hearing some comments about dark chocolate made by the Kuna Indians off the coast of Panama, and they harvested the cocoa bean, and pretty much like your guest was saying. And John Hopkins did a study, and they couldn't figure it out why these people could drink 5 cups of hot chocolate a day and plus eat it and no heart problems at all. And then they found out the ones after they went to the mainland to get real jobs or whatever they were doing, they started eating like the people on the mainland at some of these fast food places, and then their heart problems and conditions started. So that's an interesting story, I thought.
Yeah, it is. Sure. I think I've read something similar. And, you know, there have been a lot of claims, you know, lately about dark chocolate especially being heart healthy. So, you know.
There you go. Thanks, Steve, for calling. Appreciate it. And we've got, here's an email from a chow from Eric and Amy in Italy.
I know Eric and Amy.
Great. They're listening online. We have plenty of great chocolate in Italy, but nothing comes close to Gail's.
Thank you, Amy and Eric. I love you.
That's pretty cool. Well, that's had a call from Germany, now Italy in there. That's wonderful. Now, one of our callers said, if I was in Madison, I would try to get a job with you. What kind of training do you have? Your staff has?
Well, they don't need any specific training, really. You know, a positive attitude, good work ethic, you know, of course, is really key. But I found that people that are very creative, you know, generally make great employees. Knitters tend to be good employees. You know, if you have good eye-hand coordination, that helps. But I have a really, really great staff. I mean, I couldn't be prouder of them. They're just fantastic. There's a lot of creative people on staff. And we're starting now I'm trying to encourage them to come up with some flavors too and really make it a very collaborative effort. And last week, one of my kitchen managers came up with a macadamia mocha bonbon. It is fabulous. She makes a caramel with coffee. So it's a coffee-flavored caramel. And then a little macadamia nut paste in a chocolate shell. It's pretty much heaven. I think there's one in the box I brought you, actually.
Well, you know what? I might have to try that one. I was going to let that box. Well, it's pretty hard to have an open box of your chocolates here and not even sample one. But I may have to sample that one. It's such a pleasure. And this is probably, what's your busiest time of the year? Christmas?
Well, Christmas is the busiest. And then it's followed by Valentine's. You know, Christmas is a whole month long or longer. But Valentine's is a shorter, but very busy. I mean, We had people before we even opened today waiting to get in.
And you've got me. I'll be there probably this afternoon about 5 o'clock, and I bet things will be hopping.
Oh, yeah, we'll be busy.
Get in line. All right.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks, Gail, so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. And
my pleasure.
You make wonderful chocolate, and I hope we have a chance to talk again.
All right. Thank you so much.
We'll probably will be talking in about 5 hours or so.
Okay. I'll see you then.
Thanks, Gail.
Larry.
Gail Ambrosius owns and maker of, developer of Gail Ambrosius Chocolatier in Madison. Again, she makes wonderful chocolates, and I hope you'll have a chance to taste them. And you can go online, go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mealer Show, and you can get a link to her site. And you might want to have a little wine with some of that chocolate. I know I have had wine with her chocolate and find it quite nice. We're going to be talking about choosing and enjoying wines, not only with chocolate, but everything else, with Jessica Bell, founder of and CEO of My Wine School, based in Chicago. She's next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.